She could hardly believe herself as she typed these words into her laptop, this URL address. She felt ashamed. AshleyMadison.com. Go. She and Mark had been married for about 12 years. They had a son, Jimmy, who was 6. And from her perspective, things had gotten stale. Really stale. They didn't feel like life mates anymore. They just felt like roommates. They might have lived in the same house, but they didn't really share one life. They didn't really share one heart. And she couldn't remember the last time they'd gone on a date together, really done anything together that wasn't involving the boy. They wondered if Johnny was the only thing that really kept them together. And she was, being really honest, she was bored. So, that night as Mark was away on a work conference or something like that, and Johnny was asleep in bed. She was at her computer, just looking. Doesn't hurt to look, right? She starts to fill out a profile. It asks about her age. She lies by 5 years. I mean, everybody cites like this, of course. Asks about her weight. She lies by 15 pounds. She did tell the truth about her interests. Jazz, Italian food, hiking. She was truthful about that. Name? She changed that too. I mean, you wouldn't want to get caught on a site like this, obviously. But, I mean, Ashley Madison, I'm sure it's completely secure. And she hit save. And she wondered what she would find. Well, she didn't have to wait very long. In the next 30 minutes, seems there were plenty of guys interested in meeting her. A lot of guys out trolling that night. So she started to scan through the profiles. Nope. No. Oh, that's disgusting, though. And then, maybe. Huh. Just guys. 6'2", blonde hair, college educated, liked jazz and Italian food and hiking. She thought for a moment, 6'2", that's like 2 inches taller than Mark. But he has college educated and blonde hair like he does. And it just took her back, you know. 13 years before when they had first met, how fast they had fallen in love. And it made her feel, well, just looking at this profile, it was like an opportunity to roll back the clock, you know? Just made her feel alive, excited, sexy, dangerous. I mean, she did feel some shame, but also some real interest. She reads down a little bit further in the profile. What's his name? His name is Elliot. Huh, she thinks. Elliot. Where have I heard that name before? Huh. That's right, that's Mark's middle name. Well, the next day, of course, Mark came home. You know, she closed up the computer, all those things. And life went back to boring normal, you know, where they didn't really talk. They just sort of did life together, his job, her job, and then they connect around the boy. And went back to boring. Well, a couple days later, Mark sends her a text from work. The boss says I have to go out of town on a sales call tonight. I'll pick up my bags early this afternoon. I probably won't be home when you're home. Don't forget that Johnny has soccer tomorrow at 10. See you tomorrow. Now, normally, if she'd received a text like this, she would be just torqued. So mad. Come on. But this time she felt something different. She was intrigued. This was an opportunity. Well, she didn't waste much time. She opened up, she had her laptop at work. She opened it up and went onto the site and looked up the profile for Elliot. You want to meet tonight? She wrote. Moments back, sure. Where should we meet? He recommends Danilo's. It's an Italian restaurant about 45 minutes away that features jazz music. Wow, she thought. That's where Mark and I had our first date. How strange. She made arrangements for the babysitter, you know, so somebody would come watch Johnny till midnight. She didn't want to make overnight plans, didn't want to put that opportunity in front of her. And then she wrote back again. How will I know? How will I know it's you? And moments later, text comes up on the screen. You'll see me with a red scarf around my blazer. Oh, she thinks to herself. 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock. It's a date. She finds a red dress from her closet. You know, something attractive, something classy, not too trashy or anything like that. But and she prepares for the night. She's excited. She's excited. Drives to Danilo's. Comes into the restaurant. You can see the jazz music is playing. It's just kind of exciting vibe. And she's looking around the room. She's looking around the room for that red scarf. Where is that red scarf? Oh, she's not being stood up. She's so, there it is. It's over there by that, hanging off on the jacket off that booth over there. So she walks up to the booth. And as she rounds the corner, she says, "Hi, you must be Mark." Who saw that one coming? All right. I know this was not a highly suspenseful story, but here's the thing. It pulls us into something that we all know and understand intuitively. If Mark and what's-her-name was in your house at your dining room table and they were talking about their marriage, you would know what advice to give them, right? What would you tell them? What would you tell them? Go spend some time together. Don't forget why you and how you first fell in love. You would know what to do in that moment. The problem in this story is not the website. It's what's going on in their hearts, right? And you know this. You could give that advice right now. And we do this to the Lord all the time. Because one of the challenges of the human heart is that the new and the novel get really exciting, and that which seems old and seems routine, and that which we have a tendency to take things for granted. We have a tendency to miss the treasure that is right in front of us. We have a tendency to do that. It's just part of what it means to be human. And as that gets applied to our spiritual lives, it can take us to some extremely dangerous places. And it can take us away from the greatest treasure, the greatest resource for our faith. Now, if you've been following our Colossians series, you know a little bit of the backstory behind the book. A guy by the name of Epaphras comes to Christ in Ephesus. He's just won over by the grace of God. He's so excited for people to hear about a God who loves people unconditionally, who gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to rise from the grave so people could be reconciled with God, so you could have salvation. A church gets started, and then a few years in, things start to creep in. There's some problems, there's some challenges, there's some new ideas that are pulling people's affections away. And Epaphras does a really, really brave thing. He goes and he asks for help. And so as he's looking to go back to his mentor Paul, who used to be in Ephesus, now Paul is over in Rome, like 1,200 miles away. He goes on this epic journey to go find Paul and go get help and go get some advice. And as Paul hears what's going on in the church, he writes this letter to the church in Colossus, the book of Colossians. And we're going to be in chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, as Paul is looking to deception-proof the church by reminding them of the main thing. So follow along in your Bibles, your Bible apps, however you access God's Word, as Bob comes up and reads Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, a message to the Colossian church and a message also to each one of us.
So chapter 2 of the book of Colossians, verses 1 to 5. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is.
Thank you. So in one sense, the message today is probably most applicable to those of us who have been walking with the Lord for some time. So now, we have been blessed in our church to have many new Christians. As far as I'm aware, in the last month, we've had about 4 people make first-time commitments to Christ. I mean, just God is doing amazing things, and we're super excited for that. But you know how sometimes when somebody's a brand new Christian, I just love hanging out with them. But it's like they're just on fire. Like, wow, Jesus, everything. What did I have for breakfast? I had sandwiches with Jesus, you know, and I ate my cereal with Jesus, and I went and ride my car with Jesus. Like, they're just excited and fired up, and yeah! And that's great. And that's great. But something tends to happen as we've been walking with the Lord for some time, where just kind of like a relationship as it matures, some of the most, you know, exciting bits of it, you know, some of those emotions wear off. And we move into a relationship that's a little more comfortable, and that's good. But at times, also one that's more liable to be taken for granted. And so Paul, I'm just going to especially focus on one sentence. It's Paul, and he writes all these run-on sentences. They're really long, but I want us to make certain that we really dial into what's being said here. Because the idea is can change your life. Can change your life. We're going to look at verse 2, okay? So Paul has a goal. My goal is they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that, if you have your Bibles on, you might want to underline that phrase, so that the encouragement in heart and unity in love accomplishes something. Okay, we're going to come back to this in a minute. So that they may have the full riches of complete understanding. Then here's another causal phrase. In order that, those words, they matter. Ideas are being linked. In order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ, in whom are hidden all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You don't have to raise your hand here, but who here believes that in Jesus all of the treasures and wisdom and knowledge are found? Right. Some of you didn't raise your hands, and that's okay. So we can read that, we can believe that, we can say, yep, I totally affirm that. That is true. In Jesus is everything I am looking for. In Jesus is the source of wisdom. Jesus is the source of knowledge. Jesus is the one who gives me purpose and hope and peace and strength and grace in my life. Jesus is all of that and more. Not just because what he did on the cross, although that alone is absolutely enough, that because of Jesus Christ, I have salvation, I've been reconciled with God, I have a brand new identity. But for many of us, we've also experienced this in other very personal ways. Like Jesus has transforming power in my life, and he has done things in my life I have no explanation for otherwise. Many of us could give a testimony like that right now. Jesus has done things in my life that no other historical figure, no other philosophy has accomplished. Jesus is all that. We would affirm that. We'd be like, yeah, that's true. And we wave our hands in church. We're all excited. And yet, here's the kicker. What are you worried about this week? What was the big stress in your week? Don't tell me, just think. Did you take that to Jesus? The parenting challenges you had, the grandparenting challenges you've had, did you take that to Jesus? The business troubles, take that to Jesus? The marriage troubles, you take that to Jesus? The health concerns, the financial concerns, did you take that to Jesus? It's so crazy. And I do this too. I mean, I'm preaching, but there's like three fingers pointed back at me. You know, I do this all the time. It's just ridiculous. It's like you've got a Ferrari in the garage, and you're like, no, I'm good with the skateboard. It's totally fine. I don't want to go there like fast or well. I got it from here, Lord. What idiots we are. It's insane. But we do this all the time, and it's the same thing that we do to each other in relationships. We take for granted the greatest treasure, and it's right in front of us. It's right there. It's right there. We can affirm it, we can believe it, but we just don't do anything about it much of the time. I hope we're all feeling a little convicted. In Christ are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And then Paul writes, I tell this to you so that no one may deceive you by fine sounding arguments. Do you know how they train bank tellers to recognize counterfeit money? You know how they do that? Here's what they don't do. They don't go, here's Monopoly money, it's not real. Here's a piece of paper that Johnny wrote on with a crayon that says $50, it's not real. You know, here's some money from the game of Risk. But imagine that. It's not real. Here's a fax that Andrew put together with Microsoft Paint, and he wants to cash it. It's not, they don't do that. They don't do that. Do you know what they do? They have people handle a whole lot of real money. I say this to you so no one will deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. We get distracted when we take our focus off of Christ. That's when we are prone to deception. You have some idea, some theological idea, some philosophical idea. Here's a couple of things that you can do to kind of test it. One, is it consistent with Scripture? Two, does it give glory to Jesus? If any of those things are not true, there's a pretty good chance. Something about it that smells funny. Could be counterfeit. Is it consistent with Scripture? And does it give glory to Jesus? And we keep our focus on Christ. Keep our focus on the real thing. On the main thing. Other things fall into place. So I need to talk to you about two big ideas. Two big ideas today. First one is this. Jesus, still the treasure you've been looking for. Can you take the concerns that are on your heart, the joys, the burdens, the stresses, the worries, can you take it to Jesus? And maybe if you hear nothing else today, maybe it's just that encouragement. Like, take it to Jesus. He can handle this. He really is all that. All that stuff we sing, all those words we read, he really is all that. You don't have to carry it alone. So don't. And I'm especially saying this to you who are seasoned Christians, because we're the ones that miss this the most. In fact, if you're just here today and you're just checking out the faith, my hunch is this is one of the things about Christians that bug you the most, is that we say we've got answers to all this, and we say we are locked into the heart of God. We say we hear from Jesus, and we do so very little. Probably bothers you. Hope it does. It should bother us. That's the one thing. Here's the second part. And it's hidden in that "so that" phrase earlier that we studied. Okay, so chapter 2, verse 2. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding and on from there. Okay? Now, it is possible to be a Christian, just kind of you and Jesus. Like, you just have a quiet moment with the Lord. You get away to a log cabin. You're on a desert island. You're somewhere. And it's just you and Jesus. It is totally possible to be a Christian like that. What is not possible is for you to thrive as a Christian like that. There is an essential aspect to knowing the fullness of Christ. And that's community. Or here's the second idea. Only together can we experience all of Christ. That's what the Bible says. Though they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, then there's the important words, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding. It could be that some of the wisdom from Jesus that you need just happens to be found in the person sitting next to you. That piece of insight. Jesus, would you please help me with it? I don't know what to do with this area of my business. And sitting right next to you is somebody that has exactly what you need. That is a gift from Jesus. Jesus, please help me with my marriage. I don't know what to do here. I feel stuck. I feel like it's gotten stale. And could be there's somebody else in this room that has been there. And they have something that they could offer to you, some piece of advice or insight or wisdom or support or encouragement or something. And that would be a gift from Jesus. We need each other. We need each other more than we let on. My goal is they may be encouraged in heart and united in love. I realize some of you are just here checking things out. You're trying to figure out, you know, where you are with the local church. I hope that wherever you land, I hope you will plug in. That you will work towards the unity of the body. What can I do to build up the people around me? It's not just like, oh, something stinks there. I don't like it. There was this one person who was rude. The coffee didn't taste good. Whatever it is, I'm gone. You want to really grow? Start making commitments. You want to really grow? Invest yourself in each other. Speak words of truth. Say what needs to be said. Forgive. Get over the stuff you need to get over. And encourage somebody. I've been challenging people. Like, if Columbia Grove is your home church, find 5 people in the church and just pray for them. Ideally outside of your immediate family, though I hope you are praying for your immediate family as well. And just on your mind, how can I be praying for? And just start, that you've got some people on your list. How can I encourage that person? How can I build them up? Think about them. Pray for them. Because it seems here that when we are encouraged in heart and united in love, we know to a greater degree the riches of complete understanding, the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom the knowledge. Take just a moment, and if you want to, talk to somebody next to you. If you want to just interact on your Bible app or just sit and think for a moment, spend some time with this question. What do you think distracts us from Jesus today? What do you think distracts us from Jesus today? You can talk to somebody next to you if you like, or just sit and think for a moment. Or if you have the Bible app, just write it down there. It'll be anonymous, and you can let me know what you think. That'd be awesome, too. But just take a moment on that question. What distracts us from Jesus today? And then as the worship team comes up and we start to transition into a time of song and prayer, I'd like you to spend some time with this question. And you can talk to your neighbor about it if you really want to, but more than anything, just for you to spend some time with this question. What do you want to say to Jesus today? Is there an area of your life that you're asking him for help? Talk to Jesus about it. Is there a hole in your heart that's been unfulfilled? Talk to Jesus about it. How long has it been since you really had an honest conversation with the Lord about what's going on in your life? Do you really believe that he has the answers to the questions that you're seeking? This is the one who takes our sin and offers us salvation. This is the one who takes death and gives us life. This is the one who takes brokenness and gives back to us wholeness. So what do you want to say to Jesus today? I want to lead us in a little time of prayer. And I'm just going to talk from my own perspective. And maybe you can fill in the blanks for your own, just as a way of maybe providing some framework for you to talk to the Lord about what's going on in your life and in your heart. Jesus, I don't know why this is, but far too often I think I can handle the greatest challenges of my life. I really think I can handle them on my own. I don't know why I don't bring you in. I don't know why I don't ask for help. I don't know why I don't really trust your word, or even the things that with my lips I would affirm. Would you forgive me? And Jesus, you know what I need. You know the places where my heart is weak, where my confidence is thin, where I feel inadequate. And Jesus, I know that you're the answer. Because of what you accomplished on the cross, and because of what you have accomplished in my life, you have done things in me I have no explanation for apart from you. Jesus, pull me back. And I'm sorry that I neglect you. But remind me who I am worshiping. Remind me of who you are, because when I get a clearer view of who you are, I'll remember who I am in you. So help me. Help us. I pray these things in your name. Amen.